Yeah, here you're looking at the definition of it. The point is, people have things they believe in. And those things, when you either violate something that's against your conscience, or even if you, let's say, accuse someone else of doing something, and you do the same thing, and you treat them as though, you know, you accuse them of some evil doing, and you're just as guilty. When you do, when those things operate within humanity, that is, acts as a law in and of itself. And of course, there are the civil laws. Disobedience to an unjust law can be a Christian duty. You know, when the Romans made laws that that the emperor, you had to burn incense to the emperor, or and acknowledge him as God and protector of our fair country, they had to disobey. And in any case, when the laws are just, the breaking of them is sin to those who are under them. Just laws are not made for righteous people. They're made for the ungodly and sinners, for people who do evil, not for people who do good. The general point of all law is to indicate what wrongdoing is. You know, and there are many things, is that, you know, they say you cannot legislate morality. So there's a greater law within the human mind, which is the moral law. And that is the one that you can be a completely straight arrow when it comes to the civil laws of your nation. But when it comes to the moral law of your mind, everyone is going to find themselves at some point violating it. And if you think you have never done that, think again, or just wait. Because, God will cause his word to be magnified and glorified. And if you think you never violate your conscience, the Lord will show you otherwise. Or maybe you'll violate your conscience and he won't show you, because maybe he doesn't even want you to see. Now, that would be a really pitiful thing in my book, but that may be how it is for some people. And the point of all this under the law is to cause those who believe by faith to receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying Abba, which means father. The word Abba is a Aramaic word, which means that's Hebrew of the New Testament times. And that was the Aramaic word for father. And he uses it there. There are a few occasions in the Bible where there are a lot of names of people and places that are in Aramaic, like Jesus and Mary and Martha. Those are all Aramaic in nature, in their origin. But there's also words sometimes that are translated like Pascha, but it's translated Easter. But then there's Raka. I remember Jesus said, if you say to your brother, Raka, that's a Aramaic word, and Sabbath, and there's a number of them. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and so on. And it's sort of I wonder if Paul uses it here, maybe because to him, see, the Greek is pater, kind of like father. It's very, you can see the relation. There's a lot of relation I notice in very basic words and languages that they are, the mother in a lot of languages is something. But Abba is interesting because it sounds affectionate. Abba, like dada, that kind of thing. And maybe that's why he uses it in addition to pater. And I mean, if he just wanted to use the Aramaic father, I believe he would want to translate it for his Greek-speaking audience. In fact, the fact that both appear here makes me think that some have suggested that the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew. And I think that may be true with say, like Matthew's gospel or some of the other things that were written to the circumcision, to the Jews. But certainly a letter to the Gentiles like Galatians would have come out in Greek to begin with. Paul knew Greek, so it would not be surprising if he, you know, he's throwing in a little Aramaic there because of the way he feels about the way that the sound of it sounds affectionate. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, verse 7, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That is such a profound thing. Through Christ, we become heirs of God. That means we inherit His possessions. It's amazing that, you know, people think of salvation. They think, oh, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to go live with God in heaven. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to go up and enjoy a mansion, a feast. But they never think of it in terms of, I'm going to become one of His sons. I'm going to be the inheritor of all God possesses. All God possesses. God possesses everything. That means by inheritance, I'm to possess everything. With Christ, I mean, it's, and with every other person who is a son of God, so it's kind of a shared inheritance, but it's not something we're going to chop off, oh, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, that's yours, this is mine. Covetousness. No, I'll tell you what. I admire the way the Native Americans used to look at the land as being belonging to the, you know, whole tribe. Though, you know, they did fight each other over possession of their land that they held in common in their little tribe, obviously, but those within the tribe all were all to share what the tribe, you know, their range. I mean, I like that sentiment. I mean, obviously, fortunately, we're not, you know, the sons of God are not going to go against the sons of Loki, and then we're all going to have a war over, you know, every once in a while. No, truly, we will share our inheritance among each other. But without, I don't see it as being a divided inheritance. I see it as being held in unity. And what's the? I mean, I honestly, I don't even care. This whole part, as far as like, you know, what's mine? It's like you won't have to if you consider the fact of the few. Think about it, if everyone in the world who ever existed amounts to, you know, several billion people. Out of a nearly infinite possible people. You think only a couple billion? I mean, I'm sure there are many more stars and galaxies out there than that. I mean, this little universe that God created is an awfully big place. At least you think about the way people covet just their little acres here on Earth. And then to think that all creation, which God has made, and He could make even more. I mean, you know, like...